Suicide has come up already several times last night and again this morning. And my assignment is to take you into the trenches, into the valley of the shadow of death. I am a field traumatologist. Do you know what that means? I deal with trauma not from the sanitized hospital room, not from the distance of an office, but in the field. I'm on call 24/7 with police and fire. I respond at all hours of the day and night to whatever may be going on, where it's happening, dealing with people at the scene, on the scene, in the midst of the event. So I deal with trauma not in a sanitized environment, but in the raw reality of a fallen world. And I have a key verse that I'd like to put up. And the key verse is for us to keep in mind, to govern our thinking, our feeling, and our doing, not only through the course of this presentation, but something we need to have in our minds when we are dealing with suicidal subjects or dealing with the aftermath of suicide. The verse is Jeremiah 29. It's probably familiar. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, that verse has become very popular. It fits on Hallmark greeting cards or whoever. But it was not written in the context of a greeting card. Who wrote it? Hint, the bottom of the page. Jeremiah. What were the circumstances? This was part of a letter that Jeremiah wrote to people who had been taken, not willingly, from Jerusalem to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah, at the direction of the Lord, wrote this letter to the survivors among the exiles in Babylon. Now, what's important about that is that these were people who had been forcibly uprooted. They didn't make a choice to go. They were forced to go. And their lives were transformed. Their lives were overturned culturally, lingually, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. These were people to whom it appeared life was over. What was the point of going on? And Jeremiah says this: God has a plan for you. And God is good. And what God does is good. And God's purpose, despite your present suffering, despite your present despair and hopelessness, God's purpose ultimately is for His glory and for your benefit. These people are going through hardships and distressing times. And people who are suicidal are going through hardship and distressing times. And this is a good word to encourage people who think their life is over. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that an understanding of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God provides an anchor to peoples whose lives seem to be dissolving under their feet. It gives us stability because it gives us truth. Well, let's head off into the trenches. A word of caution. This presentation may revive difficult memories for some people. I'm not even going to ask you how many of you have been affected by suicide. Most of you have been touched by the suicide of someone that you love, someone that you worked with, someone in your neighborhood, someone that you knew. And some of the things that I say today may trigger memories that may cause you some sadness and some concern. Monitor your reactions and be prepared to talk with someone that you trust afterwards if necessary. But I want you to be aware that despite the difficulty of the things that we'll be talking about, it may also provide insight, understanding, and perhaps a measure of peace. Somewhere along the line, maybe something will say, click. That's what that was all about. Now I understand. Now I can go on. Let's pray. Lord, you are the sovereign God, and we bless and praise your holy name. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy toward us. Everyone in this room is here by choice. Everyone has come because they have been helped by your people, blessed by your word, empowered by your spirit, and they want to be in a position to help others. Not merely abstractly, not in theory, but to actually come alongside and help others in time of need. Lord, we pray that this session will help us to be prepared to help others to the glory of your name. Amen. What is suicide? I see a number of people out here who I think probably remember Art Linkletter. Do you remember Art Linkletter? Am I the only? No, I'm not the only one. Okay, a number of hands. Remember Art Linkletter? Art Linkletter was kind of a radio and TV pioneer in the 1950s and 60s. One segment of his program that you might remember is Kids Say the Darndest Things. He'd have preschool or elementary grade school kids and ask them different questions. About five or six kids, he'd interview them, and he'd always ask them, was there anything your mother told you not to do before coming on this program? And it'd be the funniest things, just great. But Art Linkletter was also a suicide survivor. Art Linkletter wrote, "The word suicide is without a doubt one of the most dreadful expressions in the English language. People wince at the sound of it and avoid using it to describe the tragic death it implies. Leprosy and cancer are spoken of in the same hushed tones. And yet it must be faced squarely and discussed openly because it has become one of the leading causes of death among both the young and the very old in our country. No one can be sure of the exact figures because suicides are deliberately misreported and misdiagnosed as an accident." He goes on, "My own personal experience with it is still a nightmare. The death of my 19-year-old daughter, Diane, after experimenting with LSD, changed my life and the lives of everyone in my family. We still find it difficult to understand or discuss." Art Linkletter wrote this in 1993. His daughter, Diane, was a student at UCLA who jumped out her sixth-floor kitchen window.